Welcome back to the Gospel Sports Shoes Podcast. This weekend was kind of wild. There's a lot to talk about, breakdown, conspiracy theories, good old-fashioned behind kickings, a whole bunch of moves from NFL coaches, moves from a few college coaches. We're going to break it all down, discuss the weekend that was. But remember, first, we are now on YouTube at the Gospel STP. At the Gospel STP. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group, the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group, you'll see the same icon that you see there on your podcast app. You'll see the same icon there on Facebook and on YouTube. So make sure you smash that follow or subscribe button. With that being said, Philly over Washington, 55-23. That game got away from them kind of quickly. Kansas City over Buffalo, 27-25. Some would say maybe a couple of calls here or there, and this game could have gone the other way. I guess let's start with the Philly-Washington. Vander, why don't you start us out? What were your overall thoughts? What's next for Washington? What do you feel is going to be on the horizon for Philly as you give us your first Super Bowl thoughts? I'm not really picking the game just yet. We'll save that for a later date. But what was your initial thoughts as far as Philly over Washington, and what do we see Philly doing going forward?
Well, first, you know, I'm Young Vanda. This is my man, BK Wins. We didn't get an introduction, but you know what I'm saying.
I'm so excited. You know what I'm saying? I'm so excited.
What's going on out there? My fault.
Yes, absolutely. My guys, my bros, Young Vander, the fantasy.
This is why we can't have nice things.
My guy BK Wins. I'm not above an apology. My fault, guys. I'm just excited to hop right into this thing. I've really been more so than any other reason when we get to these coaching moves, because I know both of you guys like follow all the trees, and you can say this. It's like reading the Bible. This guy begot that guy and begot this one. You guys know all how all that works. So I'm very interested in that part. But let's start with the weekend that was Philly over Washington, 55-23. Vander, I mean, I think we both had an inkling that it was possible that Washington was going to be able to take this game. BK was like, that's my squad. If it happens, I'll be happy about it. But don't put your money on it. It ain't going to be on BK's best bets. So what happened here?
This is one of those games where if you look at the score looks a lot worse than the game actually was if you watched it. I mean, in all honesty, I'm not refs or anything like that. It's just turnovers. I mean, that's the whole game. You had the rookie quarterback and Jaden Daniels who played great, in my opinion. Very poised. The lights were bright, and he seized the day. I mean, Washington was really moving the ball well this game, but when they turned the ball over, they turned the ball over in the other team's red zone or right by the end zone. So it was so easily for Philadelphia to score for those turnovers. I mean, we had three fumbles, a kickoff fumble, this guy fumbled, that guy fumbled. Like, and those are three possessions, three scores this way, and maybe three scores going the other way. Because again, like I said, Washington was moving the ball pretty nicely against his defense. So I think it's a lot to be pleased with. You got a rookie quarterback that made it to the NFC Championship with the biggest salary cap going into next season. So there's a lot to feel be excited about. Dan Quinn didn't get his guys in here yet. So this thing is going to take off. And I think we just seen the beginning of matchups to come in the NFC with this Washington team. But kudos to the Eagles. They capitalized off those turnovers. But in my opinion, this game was just all about the turnovers.
BK, what are your thoughts?
So first, really, 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 really proud of my Commanders for how we played this year. If you would have told me before the season that we were heading to the NFC title game and we're literally a half away from the Super Bowl, I was really, really happy about that. The sky's the limit. We found our quarterback. To Vander's point, we're going to add pieces, parts to make the team even better. As far as games go, I mean, look, as my dad always says, in sports, the worst thing is when you can accept in sports when a team is better than you and just beats you. that wasn't the case here. Washington beat themselves with stupid turnovers that is uncharacteristic to them and costly mental mistake penalties that just can't happen. Late hit out of bounds, stupid personal fouls. You just can't make those mistakes on the road when you're playing in a tough place to play. And give Philly credit, they took advantage of it. I think their game plan was a little bit better. Washington was really slow to take Barkley out of the game. It took them a half to figure that out, which would have been my game one, two, and three plan. I'm going to shut down Barkley, and Jalen Hurts is going to prove he can throw the ball, which he's not usually good at doing. That's what I'm going to make him do. But, you know, they're going to be back. It's the revival of the Commanders. They'll be here for a long time. And, but it's tough to watch your team play so poorly when they played so well the last couple months. It wasn't surprising, the outcome. I mean, the best bets was the Eagles. So clearly I'm not surprised of the outcome. And to Vander's point again, I'm not surprised that the score doesn't indicate how competitive the game was. You look at the score and you think it's a blowout. It really wasn't that case. Deep into the third quarter, it was very competitive. So it's just a few plays here or there. The special teams fumble before the half was just stupid. Eckler coughed away a screen ball that you just can't do. Those are two stupid turnovers you just can't have.
Kansas City over Buffalo, 27-25, with a couple of questionable calls. I've heard some people argue it one way, argue it another. I have no dog in the fight, so I was just entertained by the whole mess. But at some point, when you have enough evidence, it ceases being a conspiracy. Like how many times does it have to happen before it's not just a happenstance anymore? Like, it's becoming a pattern at this point. I'm gonna give you a BK-ism. If you have replay and you have the ability to get it right, get the call right. Like, if I can see on my replay on just my regular 1080p TV that it's clearly a first down, what is the ref looking at and what are the replay refs looking at? What angle made them think that that was not a first down? Like, that wasn't the only call. It was a – There were a few calls in the game. That was the one that kind of stood out to me the most. But, BK, why don't you start us out on this one? Kansas City wins again over Buffalo, 27-25. What's next for McDermott? Do we think that this is one of those, hey, can't blame him. You're going up against the Brady of your time and a coach that, by many people's standards right now, is as good as or better possibly than Bill Belichick. So do you just kind of give him the, it's okay just to get to them if you can't get past them? Or at some point, do you have to replace him and attempt to figure out a way to get past them? But yeah, Kansas City, Buffalo, what are your thoughts? BK, start us out.
So first, I'm going to make an analogy. Right. We saw this numerous times throughout, and I know you're not going to like the basketball reference, A, but here it is. It kind of reminds me back to the Jordan days, where think of all the all-time greats who couldn't get over the hump and win a ring because someone even better was there. You know, Ewing and Miller and Malone and Stockton and Barkley and all these all-time greats couldn't win a title because Jordan kept dethroning, like, couldn't get past them. And I equate that, you guys are, you know, when the congregation listens, they're like, what is he talking about? Well, here's the analogy. I equate that to Mahomes. No, I wouldn't make any changes with McDermott. I mean, this was the year I thought Allen would have a chance just because he had an MVP caliber season and the Bills played really great. Give the Bills credit for a terrific season, but it's really not what the Bills did. It's just that Kansas City is just, they're just that team. They're the 90s Bulls of the NFL. Like, you just can't beat this team. They'll play defense and beat you. They'll score points and beat you. They can get big plays, control the ball. They rush the passer. They do a pretty good job of stopping the run. They have great nickels and corners. They just are a complete team, and they're very well coached. I know people want to complain about officiating, and I know that there were some missed opportunities. I think we all can agree that there were. But I'm tired about hearing about that narrative. At the end of the day, go out and win the game. Like, in spite of all that, you're up 22-21 in the fourth quarter. Figure out a way to win the damn game. Like, play defense. You still got to... And I know it's tough to deal with some outside things. I understand. And I will go out and say that the NFL is definitely very motivated to have Kansas City continue winning for all their Swifties out there. I'm surprised they didn't name her the MVP. But that being said, Kansas City, until someone beats the champ, they're still the champs. They have the best coach in the NFL in Andy Reid, and they have by far the best quarterback in Mahomes. And at the end of the day, that's what gets it done. Not to mention the fact they have a tremendous home field advantage. It's really hard to win an Arrowhead, you know? So I just think that Buffalo had a great season, tipped their caps, but I would keep McDermott because, I mean, again, what coach are you going to find that's going to beat Mahomes and Reid?
Vander, what are your thoughts?
I got a different analogy. It's more like boxing. And what I mean by that is you can't leave the fight at the scorecard. You got to knock these guys out, right? And what I mean by the scorecard, that would be the refs, right? So if it's really close and you just can't rely on them to win you the game, you have to really go out there and kick these guys in the face and win the game that way. The Bills had every opportunity to win this game. Kudos to Spagnuolo. They're doing their research on this offense. When the Bills do like to do the offense, their quarterback sneak, he like to go over the left guard. And every time Allen kept trying to go over the left guard, and they kept stopping it. And big as a kid that Allen is, I mean, I'm like, damn, you can't get a yard? So you got to give kudos to that defensive line for making those stops on those fourth and ones. I mean, hey, they had every opportunity to get it. They didn't make it happen. Again, like BK said, you got the best head coach, one of the best play callers we got in this league. And then Spags, from that Johnson lineage, right?
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. I can't wait to get to the coach part.
If you know Johnson, man, from Philadelphia days, they will blitz you 100 every play. They coming. You know what I'm saying? You got one of the best best defensive tackle in football in Chris Jones, and you got one of the best cover corners on the outside of McDuffie. This is a really good team. I mean, look at the wide receiving core. You got D-Hop. You got Juju. You got Hollywood Brown, the rookie emerging, Worthy. Like, they have – this Bills team is not – so you got to give a kudos to the coach and the Bills. This is the best Bills team we've seen this far. This is Josh Allen and a hope and a prayer for them to get this far. I've seen better Bills teams that got beat by Mahomes. So this one, they didn't really have a stand a chance, in my opinion, against this really good Chiefs team. This is one of the better Chiefs teams, if that makes sense. So really good game, but again, you can't leave it in the hands of the refs, man. You got to knock these guys out.
I'm going to piggyback on your analogy. In looking forward to the Super Bowl, my first thought is that Philadelphia has Mike Tyson at running back. I don't know that he'll leave it in the hands of the refs. He'll run the ball in from 60 yards out. It's like my football mind tells me that Philly should win this game, actually. They got the number one defense. They can pressure the quarterback. We know Mahomes doesn't necessarily like that. Moreover, the best defense for Patrick Mahomes is to keep him chilling on the sidelines, which is what a good run game does. And it's the last game of the season. I'm running my quarterback and my running back into the – we might not throw the ball into the third quarter if Kansas City don't score. Because in the fourth quarter, I want to be within one score, and I know that my brand of football that I've kind of adopted over the second half of the season, which is more predicated on the run game than the pass game, I know I can still be within my game versus having to play in such a way that it benefits their defense. I don't know if it works out that way, But I will say there are two things that come to mind. You have the storyline on the part of the NFL, something that no one else has ever done. Maybe he doesn't even, with his fourth Super Bowl and there being a three-peat there, maybe he doesn't even have to win another Super Bowl to be spoken amongst the Bradys of the world as far as his, how would I say, his resume, if you will, as far as goatship is concerned, because I'm sure there's going to be still a whole bunch more success, whole bunch of records and all that kind of stuff that's going to tumble, it, depending on how long he chooses to play, as long as it's not an Andrew Luck type of a situation. But to have something done that has never been done, being a three-peat, like that's different in football, but on so many different levels. But what are your initial thoughts on the matchup between Philly and Kansas City? How do they match up, and how does that matchup typically work out? Vander, why don't you go ahead and start us out on this?
Give me the best quarterback in the game.
Okay.
Usually when you have two teams playing against each other, you go with which team got the better quarterback. Yes, we do see Philadelphia with that good run game with Saquon Barkley. But guess what? Kansas City is one of the best run-stopping teams in the league. They're like this, second to the Ravens. So there's something they're really good at. And we've seen this battle before. It's one of the better offensive line versus one of the better defensive lines. And one of the better defensive lines by Philadelphia versus one of the better offensive lines by Kansas City. They both have really good offenses, lines, and defensive lines. So at that point, who's got the better quarterback? I'm going to go with that guy, the guy with the experience, the guy who's won it before. And this thing don't stop. I get it. This could be a three-peat. The kid's 29 years old now. There's a lot more left in the tank. Right. Kudos to the GM who has drafted very well, because a lot of these guys are homegrown guys. Mm-hmm. Offensive line, defensive backs, things like that. Not a whole lot of free agents come in. We've seen some, and then this is going to be one of those things that people piggyback off of. We speak about veterans maybe going to run to play with Jaden Daniels. There's a lot of veterans that want to run and play with his guys too and get them an easy ring, you know, per se.
Right.
Even when LeBron, you know, take back the basketball, when LeBron was running the East for those 9-10 years, and then everybody with a year or two left trying to hang, you know, get in there and get one. So I'm taking Kansas City. I'm going to go with, look here, two people you don't bet against there, and that's Brady and Mahomes. You don't bet against these guys. So I'm going to stay in the fire, and I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, so to piggyback off what you said, Vander, I think in the trenches, it's very even, right? Both teams have really strong O-lines. Eagles a little bit better on the O-line. Both teams have very strong D-lines. For me, it comes down to three things. And unfortunately for the Eagles, all three of those go to Kansas City. Mm. Who has the better quarterback? Kansas City by a mile. It's not even competitive. Who has the better coach? Kansas City. It's not even competitive. And then the other part of it is the experience. You know, Kansas City's been here, it seems like, every year with Mahomes there, right? So it's like they know how to play in these big games. Oh, and not to mention, they got 2 weeks to prepare for this game. That extra week, guess who that gives that advantage to? Coaching. And again, who has the better coaching? So they're going to have 2 weeks to come up with a scheme. Spags and Reed are going to have 2 weeks to try to figure out a way to dissect this. It's not complicated. Spread out the Eagles and throw the ball over them. You can pass, protect, and throw the ball over them just like Washington did before they turned it over. Washington stopped themselves, not that the Eagles did, you know. And then the other part of it is we're going to shut down Barkley. Hurts, you're going to have to throw the ball a lot to win this game. If you can run against 7-8-man boxes the whole day, congratulations. And Barkley can. He's that good.
Yeah.
But the problem is, remember, Barkley is banged up. So the question is, while he'll obviously play, not at 100%. And so that definitely doesn't help the Eagles there either. I like Kansas City to win. The fact that this game is pretty much a pick 'em is, to be honest, laughable. I'm not sure what Vegas is doing. The last I looked, it was Kansas City minus 1.5, which at that point, it's who wins.
It moved to 2.
Yeah, it's still, I mean, anything under 3, it's basically a pick 'em. Kansas City's going to win this game. So the fact that it's a pick 'em is just.
I mean, Kansas City hasn't given up a 100-yard rusher all season. They haven't given up a 90-yard rusher all season.
Well, congratulations to the Eagles for being NFC title and NFC champions. They're well deserved of a terrific year. The bad news is it's going to be a bad day for them in a week and a half.
Let's go ahead and move on to the NFL coaching moves. Going to give a grade on the team and the moves that they've made so far. And if there's anything that you kind of want to deep dive into, give the people a little bit more information or a little bit more of an opinion, by all means do so. We're going to start out. This is no particular order. Dallas head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. Offensive coordinator, Declan Doyle, and defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus.
Oh, yes, our good old buddy.
Vander, what's your grade?
How you feel? Not even a grade, just expel him. Expel, like. This is awful, man. Jerry. Schottenheimer has no head coaching experience. So again, this is Jerry again in the way, finding someone that he can come in and do his little dance, and he's not going to let somebody come in there and do their thing. He got to be the guy, the overseer, the supervisor, the guy standing over your shoulder. Man, this is, it's an F grade. I mean, flat out. Eberflus, I think, is a better D coordinator, so I'm okay with that. He's not a good head coach, as we can see. But man, I mean, nah, this is hard. This is an F. This is about one of the worst you could. This is an F. That's all I'm saying.
BK, let me ask you a different question, because I think there's going to be a common consensus here as far as how we feel about the coaching hire. Is this enough? And you've been a Commanders fan, maybe you can't even answer this question, but is this enough to at least give a few Dallas fans cause for pause and say, hey, maybe if we stop buying all the tickets and we stop doing all these walkthroughs and all this, that, and the third, and putting all this money in Jerry's pockets, which makes him think that he's doing the right thing, have we finally reached the point that the fans are going to have to push back a little bit and say, hey, you know, I'll watch you at home on TV, but I can't in good conscience spend money on the product that you're putting together. And the worst part about it is we knew you were going to do this. There were so many opportunities, but we knew you would jerry this thing up in some way, shape, form, or fashion. How you feel, BK?
So they have a passionate fan base. So regardless of what they do, the fans are going to show up and show out at the ball games. They're going to show up. As far as the Cowboys, and I apologize for being distracted, but I got an alert that the Cowboys have already been mathematically eliminated from next year's playoffs. So I just wanted to make sure that we report that they might as well already prepare for the, because I mean, look, Vander and I have been saying for weeks now that Jerry is all about Jerry. He's not interested in putting out a winning product. I told you before the season started that they're quietly in a rebuild mode, which is why they spent no money in the offseason of any value, right? They still have Dak, who can't win a postseason game. Now they don't have many weapons around him other than CeeDee Lamb, which, I mean, is a great weapon, right? But when your whole roster, like, they have a few good defensive players, a couple good offensive players, and terrible coaching. The front office is even worse. I mean, at this point, was Homer Simpson not available to coach a team? Yogi Bear couldn't make. I mean, seriously, I wouldn't let. I try not to use this analogy, but I would let Brian Schottenheimer call plays for my high school football team. Well, how in the hell is he a head coach? I understand he's riding the coattails of his dad. I get it. Look, if anybody knows about that announcer, Joe Buck knows how that goes too. But at the end of the day, the Cowboys are just, they're inventing new ways to lose.
At this point, I'm convinced that Jerry doesn't care about winning. But I tell you what, these hires have definitely kept his team's name in the headlines. One thing about Jerry is there's no such thing as bad publicity. And at the end of the day, Schottenheimer is basically Garrett all over again. You didn't lose any fans. You didn't lose any money. You're the number one franchise in all of the world as far as valuation money-wise. So if your aim is to make as much money possible in backdoor channels, while us on the outside, while we're talking about the win-loss record, all the other owners are going to Jerry and trying to figure out how they can make as much money as him. And if it involves having his win-loss record, but also having his income, every single one of them just about will take it. Look at the success of Kansas City. And Kansas City ain't nowhere close to being one of the top as far as money-making teams is concerned. So for some owners, I think it's all about their motivation, honestly. Nothing that Jerry Jones has done has spoken more to wanting to win, more so than wanting to boost his ego, so that if the broken clock is right twice a day and it happens to be that day for them, he can say, I did it. That's really what it boils down to, in my humble opinion. It's ego.
And you're right. What I don't understand is Peterson's available. You know, Pete Carroll was available at the time this hire was made.
You'd have been better off keeping who you had.
Kingsbury, he could have been promoted as head coach there from OC at Washington. Granted, I'm grateful he's still there because that makes my team that much better. But at the end of the day, all three of those were better hires than what they did. So
Peterson would have been better. You got the tight end and you have the right offensive pieces for his style of offense. Like there was a ton of better options, but I digress. Chicago head coach Ben Johnson, defensive coordinator Dennis Allen, offensive coordinator for Chicago is Declan Doyle. Offensive coordinator for Dallas is somebody else. I forgot who it was. I wrote that down wrong. I'll verify who that is and get that out to you. But Declan Doyle is who Chicago went with, and he's the youngest offensive coordinator at the age of 28. Ben Johnson brought him on, indicating that he wanted to bring in some fresh blood, which I can appreciate that. If you've seen a young mind that's been innovative enough to possibly be the next guy and you can bring him in like now at the age of 28, why not go ahead and do that? I'd rather that than the retread of the guy's offense. Like, I'd rather see this guy whose offense I don't even know what it is than seeing Arthur Smith. Like it's just – it's certain dudes that got jobs and you just have to ask yourself, why are you still working? So how do we feel about the direction that Chicago is going in, and what grade would you give their current setup? Vander, go ahead and start us out.
Well, that OC, he's just there. It's just a title. He's not calling no plays. So it don't really matter.
Well, yeah, that's true. Ben Johnson can be calling the plays. Yeah.
But I'm going to give this a B. Johnson, I mean, he's like probably the biggest available, or the most, one of the most, sought after for the last couple of years. So him to come in also for our young quarterback like a Caleb, I think that was a good play. Dennis Allen, I mean, again, it's a revolving door. We see the same coaches coach everywhere, but he's a pretty decent DC. So overall,
do you feel the same way about Dennis that you feel about Eberflus as far as in
no,
the deep?
No, I like Dennis Allen better.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Dennis Allen better than him. So I'm going to give this like a B, more on the B minus side.
Okay. Overall, BK, what's your grade? And how do you feel about this setup?
Has the GM for Chicago changed?
Nope.
Has the quarterback for Chicago changed?
I don't believe so.
So it doesn't really matter what they do. I like Ben Johnson. As Vander pointed out, the offensive coordinator is going to sit there and just watch Ben Johnson do his thing and probably get him water. So
my kind of job.
And Dennis Allen's a much better DC than he is a head coach. He clearly sucks at being a head coach, but he's not the first or last that falls under that category. The NFL has a litany of history about that. So, but that being said, I'd give it a C-. I'm intrigued to see what Ben Johnson will do because I do think he is a very creative and brilliant offensive mind. I think, unfortunately, he doesn't have control over the personnel and the GM's not very bright. Henceforth, you have Caleb Williams.
I got to push back on that. Like, I kind of feel like Chicago's GM, the biggest mistake he's made is a mistake that he was forced to make, which is he had to go with Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't even think that decision was his to make. But I would
But do we know that, though?
No, I don't know that to be a fact, but I know it to be true. I'll put it that way. I'm just saying.
He held on to Eberflus too long. He drafted Caleb Williams. At the end of the day, he could have publicly came out and even said, you know, hey, we were torn between two quarterbacks. You know, this is the direction.
Not that he was told not to say that. just saying.
I'm just saying that you can get your message across without throwing people under the bus and still letting people know that it wasn't totally my decision. That matters here because if it wasn't his decision, then to your point, he gets more of a pass on his grade. If he did have a good influence or at least 50-50 and they still took Williams, that's a terrible mistake. And it's honestly going to cost him his job because Williams can't play quarterback.
Well, all I can say is this. Prior to the season, prior to this year beginning, all anyone wanted to talk about was how Poles set this quarterback up for the best setup that you could possibly have as a number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. And then because Caleb didn't come through, now all of a sudden the GM didn't do his job. Like, you can't have it both ways. Before Caleb screwed it up, he was set up to have the best starting point of any number one overall draft pick, quote unquote, in the history of the game. So
I don't need to have it both ways. We're all students, football aficionados. We understand the game. We watch it. None of us sat here and said, or even came close to saying, or even be dumb enough to say that Caleb Williams is on par or anywhere close to Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels was the pick. He was the best prospect. We all knew he was the best prospect. We've told you all year he was the best prospect. Before the draft, during the draft, after the draft, the whole season, nothing's changed. If you can understand football and watch it, this was an absolute no-brainer. So the fact that he got it wrong or was forced
to... But not just him, though. Like, this wasn't a renegade pick, is what I'm saying. Like the consensus said that if you didn't go this way, not because he was necessarily the best, but because he was the one that couldn't mess up the most, I guess is the I guess
how'd that work out?
Well, he's a rookie. I mean, if you look at his numbers, we're talking about a guy that's at 1 year. His numbers aren't bad. He's actually in a situation where he should improve based on the adult being in the room that probably actually knows how to do his job. The Commanders didn't know what they were getting in Jaden Daniels when they got him. They just knew they were getting a good guy. They knew they were getting a good quarterback. They didn't know they was getting this. Nobody knew that. So is right, and as much as I want to take the victory lap, as all three of us did say time and time again that we did feel that Jaden Daniels was going to end up being a better quarterback, I didn't think it would be this type of a gap. And I don't know that it'll be that type of a gap next year. I think the gap will shrink a little bit. I think Jaden Daniels will kind of be where he was because you can't be much better. And Caleb will actually be better. And he had decent stats. So I can't take a rookie who didn't realize, okay, I'll put it this way. If he had a competent head coach and offensive coordinator that said, hey, get rid of the ball in X amount of seconds and quit doing these pirouettes in the middle of the field thinking you're about to run away from somebody, and they actually instilled discipline in him and made him play to a certain standard, a certain way, he wouldn't have got sacked as many times as he did, which is why I don't think that'll happen next year. But he still got the stats that he got. But at any rate.
But here's the problem with Williams, right? He's going to have much better coaching. Like, I trust Ben Johnson will be much better equipped than Eberflus, right? I think that's a no-brainer. But it, to be honest, it'd be hard to be worse than Eberflus. So that's a very low bar to clear. But secondly, Caleb Williams is going to have to demonstrate the following. Can he be a professional and actually show accountability? He hasn't been able to do that. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a rookie. Being a rookie or not rookie doesn't depend on accountability. That's character. You either have accountability or you don't. He didn't have it. Are you going to work hard at it? Are you going to try to figure out how to read a defense? He still couldn't read a defense the end of the year, just like he couldn't read it. He didn't get better the whole season. He was still the same quarterback who couldn't read the defense, which is why he took all these sacks, because he had no idea what. He might as well just close his eyes and throw the ball, because that's what it looked like. Like, so, and I mean, if you watch the games, that's what happened. He'd be better just doing one of these. Because at the end of the day, he has to get a better work ethic. He has to have accountability. He has to show professionalism. He has to demonstrate that he actually wants to be an NFL quarterback and not a crybaby diva. These are all factual things that we've observed in his press conferences and things he said. He has to step up. Can Ben Johnson get that out of him? I sure in the hell hope so. But the truth of the matter is, even if he does all those things, and those are big ifs, the guy proved in college he can't play quarterback against better teams. Yes, he'll get better. That's a very low bar to clear. Very low bar.
I'm just not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to give the guy a chance to get right.
One last thing, Zay, and then I'll turn over to Vander, because I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to say something here. But I'm sure Williams, if he heard this, is probably already being a crybaby about what I said, because that's literally how he is. Like, never seen somebody who come into the league playing a premium position where you have to be a leader, and you literally will blame everybody else in America for why you suck but yourself.
Vander, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm kind of with you a little bit on this. I mean, I feel both sides. I'm not ready to throw Caleb to the Wolves yet. He didn't have that bad of a season considering being a rookie. But again, you're going to get the two a tie at this point, right? So different than Stroud and Bryce Young. It's like one of those things where if one, Jaden Daniels had looked so well, so good at his rookie debut and went behind the guy, and he's going to get crucified from here on out. So anytime you got guys that's connected to each other, this is what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? Especially if one's playing a whole lot better than the next one. So, but also to go against what you said, Zay, Jaden Daniels can get better. You can't say he can't get much better, because he can get better. He will get better. Much better will be MVP style, you know, the Lamar Jackson era. So he's going to be up in that. He's got MVP written all over him. He's going to be in that ballpark moving forward.
I mean, he wasn't too far from it this year. Like, to be honest with you, like, that's why I say he can't get much better. To be honest with you, rookie of the year should be a foregone conclusion. But
I know he had Terry McLaurin, but he doesn't have a slew of weapons. I mean, he's like Bonnie Brown,
I said this year he could have arguably been MVP.
You got an old tight end in Ertz. Like, he got some guys that. So when he gets some weapons in there, trust me,
the piece that I'm talking about is as far as his play being better. Like, he honestly, if we want to keep it a buck, are you really more surprised by the play of Josh Allen or Jaden Daniels? Like,
Jaden Daniels,
right? And Allen is the one that's supposedly the already in the clubhouse as far as that being won, or well, Lamar
not,
even.
You're not going to be surprised by a guy who has shown you who he is years and years and years. This guy, so, we've never seen him, so you're going to be more surprised by him. But let me ask you a quick question.
Give me a team.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Go ahead.
If you take Jaden Daniels and put him on the Ravens, what team are they? If you take Lamar and put him on the Commanders?
I don't think it's that much of a difference.
I don't need to say nothing else then.
I don't think it's that much of a difference. I don't.
That says a lot. So you're talking about a two-time MVP. Look like about to be three.
Wait. Apparently, you're missing what I'm saying. I'm saying Jaden Daniels should have been the MVP this year.
No.
Who expected the Commanders to be anywhere? Okay.
They overachieved. Let me do it this way.
Let me ask it this way, okay? If you remove Josh Allen from his team, you remove Lamar Jackson from his team, you replace them with not the worst of the worst, but not the best of the best. You do the same thing in Washington. Which team do you think comes out with the worst record?
Because
in my humble opinion, it's Washington, and it ain't even close.
Still, I mean, Jaden Daniels, let's not put the carriage before the horse, right?
No, like, what I'm saying is for where he got them and where they were, there isn't a larger line of demarcation as far as improvement is concerned. And there was really only one player on the field who brought about that improvement. The other guys were still there already. So, for them to go from where they were to where they are, he got to be one of the most valuable players of any team.
I'm going to go back to what Vander's question was, if I could. If I were to swap Daniels and Lamar, right? If Jaden's on the Ravens beat the Bills and they're playing the Chiefs for the AFC title game. If I take Lamar and put him on Washington, they probably lose to Detroit.
So that goes more to my point that Jaden Daniels should be the MVP, is what you're saying, correct?
No, it's just because Daniels is poised and doesn't make mistakes versus Lamar in the postseason is a turnover machine. If you look at
his career, you're going more to my point. Jaden Daniels as a rookie. So what you're telling me is Jaden would make that team better, but he shouldn't be the MVP?
Josh Allen is the MVP. Look at what he did with that offensive, with the lack of weapons on that offense.
Look at what Jaden Daniels did with a lack of offensive weapons.
He has more weapons than Buffalo does.
No, absolutely not. No.
McLaurin is the best receiver on the field.
McLaurin, yes, I would say he's the best receiver. He's
the best tight end.
Amari Cooper isn't that far behind. Let's not forget Amari Cooper's in Buffalo. Until this year, let's keep it a buck. Until this year, we would have said Amari Cooper was the better wide receiver. Who made Scary Terry better? His quarterback.
No.
Nobody was putting. Come on now. Nobody
was a beast with Sam Howell throwing the ball.
Come on now. Y'all had Scary Terry and they were Cooper last year. Come on now. Come on.
Look, I'll be on an island here. I've always felt McLaurin's a better receiver than Cooper.
What?
Yes.
No, what? No. No. But go ahead.
What did Cooper do this year? Cooper was MIA the whole year.
What did Terry do before he got Daniels there? Not much.
He's been great his whole career. Look at the stats.
Cooper's been better his whole career. Okay. Yes.
But again, I'm not concerned with what happened 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. What have you done for me lately?
I'm talking about right now. What made Terry so much better? His quarterback. Yeah.
Look, Cooper had Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And he still disappeared.
Agreed. He got traded in the middle of the season.
I didn't know the offense.
In all honesty,
I think Josh Allen's not MVP. I mean, I'm going to say Lamar, but in all honesty, man, if we're not talking about record, just playing on the field, I'm going with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was lights out this year. He was lights out.
He didn't lose as many games as he lost.
I mean, he's losing games that he's scoring 30 plus. I mean,
I get
it. He played five games and he scored 30 plus. I mean, the defense is horrible, but
I get it.
Look, Burrow has to overcome terrible head coach and an even worse defense.
He played lights out. Have you seen? Did you see his numbers this year?
Yeah, I mean,
Burrow and Chase were money.
Chase was a triple crown winner for a reason.
Well,
but let's keep going. We got a lot of coaches to get through. Another head coach, Jacksonville, Liam Cohen, who supposedly turned down the job, and then they upped the pay, and then he decided he was going to go ahead and leave after he had already made promises to players on the Buccaneers. But, hey, it's just business. Liam Cohen, what is Jacksonville doing? I almost feel worse for Jacksonville than I do Dallas, because at least Dallas getting paid. What is Jacksonville doing? Like, BK, help me understand this.
So, first of all, I preach all the time about there's a right and wrong way to handle situations. Be honest about your intentions. It's been well documented that he told the front office, his head coach, and his quarterback that he wanted to get paid as offensive coordinator there and he was staying. Then less than 24 hours later, he gets the extension and he's out the door. You can't operate that way. People, be honest in whatever. Again, you could sit there and say, you know what? I want to get paid more money, but I'm also looking for a career advancement. I'm keeping all options on the table. If you say that, then you're being honest and that's fair. But you can't sit there and promise everyone in the organization, I'm coming back, and not even a day later, you're gone. And not only that, he left for a lousy job. That's just, I mean, honestly, he handled that piss poor, but his reward for that is he got paid and he's going to get fired. Good luck.
For me, I don't really care about being honest to the organization, because they're not honest to people at all. They'll tell you your job is safe and they'll fire you, right? So it goes, you got to look at it the other way. It goes the other way sometimes, right? Didn't Jerry Jones say Mike McCarthy was safe?
Yeah, but he's been saying that for 4 years.
But he's not there anymore, right? So, I mean, we see this all the time. I get what you're saying. This is a job that's not highly sought after, but I do like the hire for Trevor Lawrence's sake. Cohen has shown that he can, I mean, he could turn, I don't want to say water into wine, but he definitely have shown, let's face it, Baker Mayfield was done. Remember? Nobody cared about Baker Mayfield. He was a backup. He was a backup in LA. He was at that point, he was from the Browns to a backup. And he was, and then he kind of revived his career. Now we've seen Baker Mayfield have the success that he has had. So I think he can maybe, you know, resuscitate a guy like Trevor Lawrence. So I do like this move for Jacksonville for the situation. I think this is going to be, I'm going to give this move a B, honestly, because I like him as an OC. And I really think, especially fantasy-wise, this is going to have huge fantasy applications. But as far as on the field, I like it. I don't think it's sexy. It's not a sexy name. But if you just look at the X's and O's, I actually like the move. I mean, I ain't mad at it. And one other thing, Chris Godwin, free agent. So I'm throwing it out there. He'll probably be in Jacksonville next year as well. Oh, Cooper Kupp, who will get probably cut by the Rams, he may be in Jacksonville next year. So keep your eyes open on those two names as well.
Las Vegas hires Pete Carroll. I think that Vegas hit a home run with this one by mistake. I don't know that you would be able to get the most out of that team in their current situation, out of a Ben Johnson, who would be a first-time head coach, versus having a guy who's been there, done that. And your team is actually sort of set up exactly like Seattle was right before Russell Wilson was drafted. Your focal point is on the defense. You have a couple of offensive weapons, but as long as we don't lose on offense, our defense is going to be what kind of carries us through. And in this particular division, you're going to have to zig where others zag, because you're not going to be able to put together the pieces to keep up with some of these offenses. So you're going to have to build on the defense that you have and hope that you can stall or stop some of the offenses that are in your division. So I kind of feel like Pete Carroll, he's a guy, he's definitely an adult in the room. He can definitely calm down a situation. You don't have to worry about him not knowing what he doesn't know. He's been successful in just about every stop that he's been at. And I just really, truly feel like he isn't a head coach that will scare off guys that would potentially play for your team. BK, what you think?
I mean, it's a great hire for the Raiders. So, I mean, I would give them an A for the hire because he's a proven winner and he'll bring credibility to a franchise that needs it. The only issue that I'll say about it is I'm going to go back to something I've used before in other places. It doesn't matter. Look at the division. You got Kansas City and Mahomes and Reed. You got Harbaugh and Herbert in L.A. You got Peyton and Bo Nix with all that salary cap in Denver. They are such a distant fourth in that division that they're going to have to make probably 12 moves. I exaggerate, but probably at least 8 really, really, really good moves to be somewhat competitive in that division. That's how far off they are, and that's assuming no one else gets better. So I like the hire. I just don't think it matters.
Let me challenge that real quick. Most of the defense that was a part of the Legion of Boom, they weren't highly sought after as far as the draft was concerned. They were just players that Pete Carroll knew could fit into his system, and they turned into, or he turned them into what they would eventually be based on his system. I think he can do something in that same vein again with the amount of power or latitude that he'll be given over this team, and especially over the defensive side of it. The other thing is, I don't necessarily know that there's an irrational thought process of what success will look like in Vegas. What I mean by that is, this isn't one of those locations where you're going to have to do what the Commanders did. Because of the division that you're in, because of the uphill battle that you face, just be a competitive team, and I think people will pretty much leave you alone. Pete Carroll can be here until he retires just by making it an any given Sunday team. Because right now, there are every Sunday you probably have a chance to beat them versus any given Sunday they can beat you. So I don't know that it's going to be a, hey, we need to be in the divisional round playoff within the next 2 to 3 years. I don't think it's that sort of a rebuild. So I don't know. But I see your point, but I just don't think they'll be unrealistic in Vegas as far as where they're going to end up. Aaron Glenn, Vander, your boy Aaron Glenn.
Oh, real quick, though, before you move along, I didn't give my grading.
What you got? What you got?
Oh, it's a C.
Okay.
I said an A. I think it's a C. Yeah, Pete Carroll, he has won before, but so has Mike Shanahan, right? When he came back. So has Dan Reeves, right? When he came. Like, these are names that who used to be winners when they came back and did nothing. The Raiders is a graveyard. Jerry Rice used to play for the Raiders. Randy Moss played for the Raiders. Marshawn Lynch played for the Raiders, right? We've seen guys play for the Raiders, and when it was all over, we're talking about the oldest head coach in football. No. Yeah, he got a little pep in his step, but he's the oldest guy out there. And I don't think anything, he moves the needle at all. He's, like you said, he's the fourth best. You got Harbaugh, you got Andy Reid, this division. It's just a check. And get the old man something to do so you don't sit at home all day.
Direct all hate mail based on ageism towards Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus, at thegospel@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we've seen it done before many times. Many coaches come back and it just don't quite move the same. But everything is, you know, the day's over.
Aaron Glenn, New York Jets head coach. I know that's your boy. You have a special place in your heart for
I'm going to give this move a C minus. And the only reason he get a C is because he's a minority. So I like to see them get an opportunity to get head coaching jobs. But
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Yeah, I just don't like the hire. I didn't think of him as one of the better coaches. He's a decent defensive coordinator. I don't think he's one of the guys. I think I can sit here and name you at least 8 defensive coordinators I'd rather have than Glenn, right? So for him to be the guy that's getting the head job, I mean, I don't quite understand it. I get it. He was a former Jet. Maybe they had a little something to do with it. Mm-hmm. Hell, they should have brought Riggs Ryan back. We bring all these old guys, put Riggs Ryan back in the seat. I'd rather see him than Aaron Glenn, to be honest with you. But I want to see who he hires as the OC. That's going to be the main thing. Because a lot of these defensive guys like Eberflus, they don't know how to hire the right play caller. Dan Quinn, he knocked it out the box when he got, what's my guy?
Kingsbury.
So let's see if this defensive guy can hire the right OC in there. But I mean, I want to do well. I tell you what, he has the most on the cup in the cupboard. He got some talent. That team is super talented, way more talented than what the Raiders have.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but I just don't like the hire.
BK.
I'm feeling generous, so I'm going to give a C minus. I will say that I am glad that, to Vander's point, a minority candidate was hired. It's about time. It's not happening enough in the NFL. So for him to get an opportunity is a great thing, especially in a big market. So I like that for sure. I hope
it's a horrible market to be in your first try, head coach.
Listen, you know, but you'll make
it. They're going to eat him alive. I give him 5 weeks.
No, I mean, if you have the right personality, you can weather the storm. You know, people say that about other coaches who've done just fine there. To Vander's point, he inherits a lot of talent. Quarterback is the big question mark. And obviously everything above him is a question mark. The whole front office is, you know, the usual nightmare. Woody Johnson's still there. So, you know, at the end of the day, he's going to have to overcome a lot of things that aren't his fault. And so that makes it tough. But from a talent aspect, he's set up well to do well. And the division is definitely outside of Buffalo up for grabs. It won't take a lot for the Jets to definitely leapfrog New England or stay ahead of them, depending on how you look at that.
Definitely leapfrog. I don't like your attitude or your tone. Definitely leapfrog.
And I think that they have more talent than Miami. So I
really
yes, because you got to realize, right? Tua got paid all this money, kind of like Sunshine in Jacksonville. What has he really done? He gets hurt and loses games. So Tyreek Hill wants no part of being there. So your best offensive weapon doesn't want to be there and is already checked out, and your quarterback can't stay healthy. And when he does, you don't get anywhere. So
I can say the exact same thing about the Jets. Their best offensive weapon, Garrett Wilson, is checked out because he doesn't want to be there with Aaron Rodgers. And last I checked, they haven't fired him. So,
well, but here's what I'll say, though. But here's what I like. I really love the Jets' defense. They can run the ball. And they have a really good run game, and they have a really good defense. And as Rex Ryan proved with Mark Butt Fumble Sanchez, you can make it to the AFC title game running the ball and playing defense. So I'm not saying that the formula is going to be the same there. All I'm saying is if you have a really strong defense and you can run the ball, that'll keep you in games. I think they have a fighting chance versus Miami. What do they really do well? I'll wait.
On a good day, they score pretty well.
Yeah. Well, against the 2022 Broncos, yeah, they scored great. Unfortunately, that was 2 years ago. And by the way, you notice how fast I loved your posts about Wilson going to the Broncos? I may or may not needed a bib and drooled over that one. But if Garrett Wilson goes to Denver, that would help them out big time. But I'm curious to see what Aaron Glenn will do as head coach there, because truthfully, you know, we talk about this at work all the time in general. In order to get the job, you need the experience. But in order to get the experience, you need the job, right? I don't think he has the enough experience to be a head coach yet, in my opinion. But the fact is, it doesn't matter what BK thinks. The fact is, the Jets hired him as head coach. Now he's going to get that experience. With an open mind, I'm intrigued to see what he can do, because he could have landed in far worse places than where he did.
I will not disagree with that. All right, so we have a few offensive and defensive coordinator jobs that have been doled out. Just give me a grade on these guys. We're going to go through them relatively quickly. Cincinnati, defensive coordinator, Al Golden. What grade we got, guys?
D.
C minus.
Atlanta, defensive coordinator, Jeff Oldrich, who was the interim head coach of the Jets when Robert Saleh got fired.
A D.
Cleveland, offensive coordinator, they're promoting from within, Tommy Reeves.
D.
Doesn't matter. He's not calling the play. Stefanski will. Not applicable.
Detroit, defensive coordinator, they are promoting Calvin Shepard.
Who?
D.
D is a dumbass for that hire.
Indy, defensive coordinator, Lou Anaroma.
D.
C.
San Francisco, defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, with another stint with the 49ers.
So I'm going to get out of A-.
Okay.
I'm with you. A-. As a D coordinator without talent, I love them there. That's going to be a great move for them.
Seattle, offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak.
I'm going to give that a C+.
C.
Last thing I want to throw out there, just switching over to college for a moment here. Ohio State won the championship and immediately lost their defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, to Penn State, which Jim Knowles essentially said, I will tell you every bit of information I know about Ohio State because they tried to lowball me. And yes, I'll take your $4 million, Penn State. Thank you kindly. Chip Kelly is now one of the hotter names out there as far as offensive coordinators are concerned. Right now, the scuttlebutt is he may end up being the OC for the Houston Texans in CJ Stroud. If this goes down and Chip Kelly is no longer the OC, Jim Knowles is already gone. Ryan Day essentially got himself an extension simply by winning the championship. Where does Ohio State end up if Chip Kelly is gone and we're left with Ryan Day doing the heavy lifting?
Oh, man, this is a $20 million team. Hell, BK can call the offense and I can call the defense and we'd probably be back in the bowl game next year, the playoffs, right? When you have that much talent, I mean, what really do you have to do?
I mean, here's the issue with that. I also read an article this morning indicating that we spent so much money last year as an athletic department that we're like bargain based. That's why we couldn't pay Jim Knowles $4 million. You would think you just won a championship. You got $4 million lying around. We couldn't pay our defensive coordinator, and apparently we aren't going to be able to pay our offensive coordinator either. So, and then I saw another post out there where it was saying that Jeremiah Smith, arguably our most talented player right now on the team, was being offered a ton of money to go play somewhere else. So that's the thing. Not in this NIL, that ring is nice and shiny, but I'm going to go ahead over here and take this $6 million that they offered me. I wish y'all the best of luck, though. You can go from being the best to not being the best real quick.
They found that money. It's not going to be an issue. It sounds like a lot. You know how much money they make at these games? That stadium is packed every Saturday.
I feel you, but they didn't pay the defensive coordinator. He only was asking for $4 million.
Was he worth $4 million?
I would
you have to ask yourself now, is he really worth $4 million versus you playing with Sawyer and all these guys, and you got the best safety in football, and you got the best, like, this team is loaded. Is he really worth the $4 million? That's the question. It's not really about we can't afford to pay you. Are you really worth this money? And my thing is, Chip Kelly needs to stay in school, because his teaching, it doesn't transfer over to adults, young adults. Do we all remember him in Philly with DeSean Jackson, Shady McCoy, and these guys? He traded Shady for like Kirko Alonso or something silly trade to the Bills.
Yeah, the linebacker, right? Kirko Alonso, yeah.
So, like, he need to stay with the kids. And I think, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I think some people are good with kids and some people are good with the adults. As you can see, Saban had to learn the hallway, right? Went to Miami and it didn't work out so well. Steve Spurrier, right? Didn't work out so well. There's not many coaches, just because you do well in one, because you can do well in another. And I think Chip Kelly, one of those guys, the kids, they'll listen to him. But these young, rich adults, they're not trying to hear that. And I just don't think he's a guy that should go to the NFL, in my opinion.
So if he does go to the NFL, what does that do for Ohio State?
Oh, they'll find somebody. They'll find somebody. I mean, that's it's one of the best jobs in football. There's a lot of OCs out there that would love to have that job. I mean, I don't want to sit here and just name off guys, but no, that's nothing to really be concerned about.
Yeah. So for me, Knowles isn't worth the $4 million that they get paid. You can give all the information that you want to Penn State, and not to be sarcastic, like I've been throughout a lot of the show, but Penn State still has Franklin as head coach, right? So yep. How does that, when he plays against top five teams, how does that go?
That normally go very well.
So again, you can have Knowles, but to be honest with you, Knowles isn't, to me, any better defensive coordinator than Manny Diaz when he was there. Manny Diaz is a great defensive coordinator, not a good head coach, although he did well at Duke last year, give him credit, but he's a great defensive coordinator. Knowles isn't that much of an upgrade, if at all, over Manny Diaz, and you couldn't get it done with him. So you have this loaded defense and you still couldn't beat Ohio State. The thing I worry about Ohio State is not losing Chip Kelly, not losing Knowles, because, again, you and I and Vander could go coach those units. Probably better than sometimes what they do. But in any case, the part that I worry as Ohio State fan part of it is, not that I worry about losing Will Howard, but Will Howard's going to be gone. Junkins is going to be gone. Jeremiah Smith could be taking more money. Tate could be taking more NIL money. So Henderson. Now you're losing four of your five best offensive weapons. I left Henderson out of that. Yep. But four of your five best weapons on offense, like, and then I'm probably relying on Coach Day to call the plays or interfere or mismanage or whatever term that you want to use that what's going to happen. Those are real concerns. Is look at Georgia and Alabama last year. When NIL gets, there's parity in NIL across the league, or there's less, I know the Buckeyes spend $20 million, but in general, there's more and more parity in college football between the portal and NIL. It won't take a lot for these players to take more money to go somewhere else. The Buckeyes offer Jeremiah Smith, and I'm going to make up a number. They offer him $7 million, and Duke says, we'll give you $14 million. Guess where he's going? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to Duke. So it's too easy to pry players away now. It's not like, oh, we're going to play the Buckeyes and they're going to be a loaded team and we're going to be great and we're going to win a lot of games. I'm going to stay there. That's not the environment we live in. That's the problem, is it's going to be too easy to poach players from these good teams.
And that pretty much wraps it up for us for this evening. We will be back to you towards the end of the week. And we will have, I want to say, two more reaction shows before the end of the NFL season. And then we will start this particular show back up when the NFL starts back up. But we won't be too far away from the fantasy show going back. So we will have one show per week after the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, we'll have that one show per week. And I will kind of go from there, but make sure that you are tuning in. If you subscribe or follow, you don't have to worry about what day it's going to come out on. You don't have to worry about missing it because you'll get an alert as soon as it posts. So do that. It'll also be posted to the YouTube and the Facebook channel. So make sure you do that and you will get all the information that you need. We'll be able to go from there. With that being said, guys, remember, tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
We out.
Later, y'all.